We're not going to fall for a banana in the tailpipe.
You're not going to fall for the banana in the tailpipe?
It should be more natural, brother. It should flow out like this. Look, man, I ain't falling for no banana in my tailpipe. Break.
Tittle ate 200 chicken wings at yo mama's house last night. Now, back to Fat Boy.
Welcome back to Sports Byline, of course, heard coast to coast, border to border, and around the world on the American Forces Radio Network. Very happy now to be joined by the University of Oklahoma head football coach, Bob Stoops. And first, I'll start off, Bob, by saying that I grew up with a crazy Nebraska fan out here in California, and we always had to watch the game, the big rivalry. And I know they're in a different conference now, but even though they've left, and with your connections with Bo Pelini and everything, that rivalry hasn't lost any of its luster now that it's not all Big 12, has it?
Well, we just don't play each other anymore, so it's kind of hard to have it, or hard to, you know, to participate in it. We do have a home and home with them coming up, and I want to say somewhere right around 2020. Oddly, as soon as we broke up from the conference, I went and spoke at Nebraska's football clinic. And then a year later, Bo came and spoke at our football clinic. So now we could participate, share ideas, and go watch each other practice.
Well, you think about all the guys from the coaching tree, from where you came from, and the guys under you, from, you know, your brother and Chuck Long, and of course, the roots there with Iowa and Mike Leach. And they always say they take a little bit of something from everybody they learn from. What do you think that when somebody coaches under you as an assistant, they take from you, Bob? Is it offense, defense, organization, motivation? What would it be, you think?
Well, I don't know. It's hard to say. Probably different for everybody. But I would say, you know, we're very specific in how we go about our day, our week, and you know, and how we relate to players, how we you know, how we motivate them, how we push them but still have our arm around them, doing it the right way, you know, is but you know, and again, daily on what we're trying to accomplish.
Well, Bob, when you came in 99, and they had been a little bit down there, we didn't have the 60 bowl games or more that we have now, but you turn that program around, and I think about you being a coach that long there now, 15 years. Normally a program, I don't want to say gets stale, but people kind of get used to each other, and sometimes they move on, and I'm sure people have asked you maybe go to a different program. Why do you think that marriage between you and Norman has been so solid all these years?
I think first and foremost, I have the same president and athletic director also going on 16 years, and that doesn't happen very, very much. So the leadership from the top at our university and people I answer to has remained the same and consistent, and we have a great working relationship. President David Boren and Athletic Director Joe Castiglione and myself, we've all really worked together in a great way, and I think that's the biggest and reason. And the second reason is the consistent success we've been able to have. You know, that's another part of it, and the fact that too that, well, you know, those are the two biggest reasons, the consistent success. But first, the leadership at the top has remained the same, and they've continued to reinvest in our program with building facilities, improving the stadium, just build a brand new dormitory that houses half students, regular students, and half all of our athletes at the university. So it's really, you know, positive, all the things we continue to improve on.
Rick Tittle with Bob Stoops, of course, 8 Big 12 championships. So right now averaging out to more than one every 2 years, and of course the national title back in 2000. And Bob, with what's going on with Northwestern and the National Labor Relations Board and maybe student athletes becoming employees. I know that Nick Saban said he was open to the idea of a union, but he also stressed that at Alabama they put over $600,000 a year into student what he calls reinvestment, trying to get them to be, you know, not just athletes, but you know, productive members of society and young men with a good future in front of them. When you first heard this idea come out of Northwestern and the ideas of student athletes becoming employees, I mean, I know it's a complicated issue with so many different layers, but what was your first reaction when you heard that, Bob?
Well, just like everybody, wondering what the definition of that's going to be and what, you know, really the purpose is. What are they seeking? For instance, if they're looking for medical insurance, we already cover our players. There's not a cost to the family when in regard to our players. And if they're looking for, you know, renewed scholarships, I've never not renewed a scholarship to a young man because of an injury or because he isn't good enough. You know, that doesn't happen. Maybe I can't speak to everybody, but so if those kind of things are what they're after, I think all of us that do it the right way would be glad to do it because we're already providing those kind of things. Unsure, I think, like, as you said, or what, you know, Nick Saban had talked about, it isn't ever talked about enough how we do reinvest in our athletes when you look at the money we put into healthcare, into nutrition at the dining hall. Brand new, we just built a $75 million dormitory for our student athletes. We academic services, on and on and on. You know, no one ever speaks of how we do reinvest in them. What also isn't talked about with a lot of us, not a lot, but the programs that do make money in a strong way, like the University of Oklahoma, Alabama, on and on, we have donated in the last 11 years over $40 million to academics at the University of Oklahoma. And that goes to professors, to students, to campus. That's pretty significant. You know, so mm-hmm. Now if that model all changes, what you have to be careful of is, are you able to donate that to academics now? Or what sport, if you're going to do this and change what we're doing, it may take away from another athlete's opportunity. When you talk about Title IX gender equity, or you may have to cut, say, the baseball team or whatever, now all of a sudden we're not going to provide baseball anymore because we have to have the funding. If you change all the funding around, then all of that changes. So what may make it better for one student athlete may take away a whole opportunity for other student athletes. It's a big puzzle. So we're way too early in it to know how it'll all shake out.
Well, and as you say, revenue producing, it's football and a little basketball, and that's it. But I think a lot of these students, as you say, you know, it's like here in San Francisco in Union Square at Nike Town. It's a huge store, and on the roof there's a picture of LeBron James. And since he's been in the league, Nike has given him $198 million. But yet on the side of the building is a 30-foot-high University of Kentucky basketball player who you would say, well, he's selling Nikes. How much did he get? Well, he got a scholarship, he got room and board, he got some, you know, he got some free Nikes. Do you think people discount the whole notion do you think people discount the whole notion, Bob, of a student athlete getting that scholarship and that being enough when you look at the multi-billion-dollar pie for the TV contracts?
Well, I you know, what people fail to realize in college is it the brand, the person, or is it the brand, the University of Oklahoma, University of Kentucky? Mm-hmm. For instance, if that young man is wearing East Central State down at wherever, who's buying that jersey? Could be the same person. But if you put them in a Kentucky jersey, they're going to buy it. Same with my guys. With Oklahoma, we're going to have 85,000 people here at the stadium every Saturday. If you're not going to wear 25, this other guy will wear 25. And point being, are they buying it because of the kid, or are they buying it because it's Oklahoma? Or is it Kentucky? Or is it Alabama? We have loyal fans to the school, not the individuals. And so that's what isn't ever talked about either, in that, you know, for instance, I have a Heisman Trophy winner, wore number 14, Sam Bradford. And people bought it and all that. But there were other people who still had 14 jerseys from a Heisman Trophy runner-up and national championship quarterback, wore the same jersey, Josh Heupel.
Mm-hmm.
You see the you know, so who are they wearing it for? In college, it's a little bit different. Everyone's wearing LeBron James. It doesn't matter if he's at Cleveland, Miami, wherever, because he's the brand. It isn't who he's playing for.
All right, that's a very good point. Another thing that's always bugged me, Coach, and I played football at the Division II level. I never played on TV, but they would ask, you know, how the graduation levels are. And that's something that's always bothered me. And I know you might disagree with me, but I always think it's not a football coach's job or a basketball coach's job to graduate his athletes. You obviously want to make sure that they're going to class and things like that and make sure their grades are okay. But and I don't even put it on the academicians or the professors. I put it on the young man. And sometimes at 17, 18 years old, they're not mature enough to know that they need to go to class. But it bugs me when Jeff Tedford here at Cal, oh, he's not graduating his players. I don't understand why they would put that on the coach when he's got a million other things to worry about.
Well, you have a legitimate point. Well, we do motivate them. We even go so far at Oklahoma, you miss a certain number of classes, you're suspended from practice. You miss one more class, you're suspended from the game, you can't compete. You miss another class, you're suspended from the next game. And that goes through the season. That goes through this spring and summer. I got guys got to go through all spring and summer. If they miss more than three classes in a certain subject, they're going to be suspended from the first game. They miss another class, they're suspended two games. So we back up. All we can do is make a guy go to class, make him go to academic services, log his time to make sure that he's getting the help that he needs. Now, if he refuses to absorb it or to try, you're right. There's only so much you can do. And, you know, there's a saying, I think, a little bit among some coaches is, you know who graduates? Everybody that wants to. It's pretty much how it is. It's just what you're saying.
Yeah, I agree with you. And finally, when you think back at your days playing under Hayden Fry and even as a graduate assistant getting started at Iowa, and obviously everyone down there in Norman wants you to stay there for another 20 years, but what kind of soft spot?
Not everyone.
Well, what kind of soft spot in your heart do you have for that program?
You know, I love it. My wife's graduated from Iowa. You know, of course, I did. My two of my other brothers. So we love it. We follow it all the time. Keep in touch with Coach Ferentz there. Still have great friends back in the area. And my wife and my children grow up every Saturday. We wake up before I go to my game or whatever. The first thing she says to the house is "Go Hawks." So so we have a little chant in our house. Not even Sooners. It's "Go Hawks" when we get up in the morning on Saturday mornings in the fall. So, we love it, had great experiences back there, and fortunately we're around great people back there, and Coach Fry and all the people surrounding him.
Well, listen, Bob, best of luck with spring ball and the new class, and we'll look forward to seeing you out on the field. I know you're busy, so we really appreciate your time. We hope to catch up with you again down the road someday.
Okay, Rick, great to talk with you.
Bob Stoops, head coach at the University of Oklahoma. Guy who brings in a lot of revenue for the University of Oklahoma and, of course, is paid very well, $4.3 million annual salary. Great to talk to him, though, and appreciate his candor and insights. We'll take a quick break, and we come back. Your candor and insights on your calls, 1-800-878-PLAY. I'm Rick Tittle. Come on back on Sports Byline.
Again.